Hello, everybody. Wonderful to see you all here tonight. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ who struggles with pornography and procrastination, and my name is Tim. So we're working on a lesson tonight called Moral. And moral has to do a little bit with procrastination, and I got to tell you, I am a procrastinator. I honestly finished this lesson at 5:45 tonight. So, I was right on top of it. So, 5 more minutes? You want? Well, you know. So, we're going to get through this lesson tonight. Tonight, we're working on moral, like I said. And tonight, we begin the growth process in the recovery program. This is really the first stepping stone where we get to the meat of the program and where we really get down to business and start doing our work. Principle 4 tells us to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Now, even though Principle 4 may bring some growing pains of its own, tonight, hopefully, we're going to take a look at some ways that we can maximize our growth and minimize the pain. It would be nice if I could tell you all that we could escape the pain of our past just by jumping over it or going around it. But the reality of it is, the stuff that happened to us is affecting the way we make choices and the things we're doing today. So we need to go back a ways, quite a ways. We always like to use in step study when people ask us, how far should I go back in my inventory? When were you born? Let's start there. It's a good starting point. So we need to go back. Maybe not quite that far, but we're going to go back and see what happened. And if we're unwilling or unable to do this, we're not going to be able to grow in the recovery program. The only way we can get rid of our pain is to go through it. We need to use our past as a guidepost, not a hitching post. So we need to spend our life, where am I here? Yeah, get rid of the pain. Yeah, so we need, not a hitching post. So some people spend their lives trying to rationalize their past. The past, I guess I shouldn't have put those two sentences together. So. Some people need to spend their lives rationalizing the past, complaining about the present, and fearing the future. Those people are not going to move forward in the recovery program. On the road to recovery, however, by coming here tonight, which just happens to be the best place to be on a Wednesday night, you have chosen to continue moving forward on your road to recovery. By embarking on this adventure of self-discovery that begins with Principle 4 and goes through Principle 5, I can guarantee you that growth will happen. Principle 4 begins the process of coming clean. It's here that we openly examine and confess our faults, most importantly to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. We need to chip it away and clean it out. All the decay of the past has built up over years and has kept us from really seeing the truth about our past and present situations. It's what we usually refer to as truth decay. Step 4 tells us we need to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So, how do we do this thing called a moral inventory? Well, let's break it down. The word moral here means to simply be honest, to be honest with ourselves. In this step, we're going to list out all the events in our lives, the good ones and the bad ones. And we need to be as honest as we can and let God show us how our past has affected us, our situations, and those around us. So to do this, we're going to make time. And that's the first letter in our acrostic. So we got to make the time. We need to set time and make an appointment with God. Job 33:31 and 33 says, "Pay attention and listen to me. Be silent and I will speak. Listen to me. Be silent and I will teach you wisdom." We need to make time to be with God, and it's very important that we do that. In the book of Exodus, we learn about different plagues that God has brought on to Pharaoh, and one that fits with what we're talking about tonight is the plague of frogs. It's one of those stories we tend to kind of breeze through as we're reading through the Bible until we do take a little bit of time and read back through it and think about it. In this story, we read about how God brings all these frogs onto Pharaoh, and they're everywhere, and I mean everywhere. There's frogs in the palace, There's frogs in the bedroom. There's frogs in their ovens, on the livestock. They're everywhere. They're even in Pharaoh's bed. There's so many frogs around that Pharaoh just couldn't even get a good night's sleep. But by the time this plague had come along, Pharaoh had realized that if he calls Moses, Moses can come and make them go away. So Moses is brought in to see Pharaoh, and he comes walking up, and he's all, "What's up? What do we need?" So Pharaoh tells him, "You need to get rid of all these frogs." Moses says, "Sure, I'll get rid of the frogs." But Moses does a little peculiar thing. He stops for a moment and asks Pharaoh, "When do you want me to get rid of the frogs?" And Pharaoh does another little interesting thing and says, "Tomorrow." Tomorrow. Why would he wait till tomorrow to get rid of these frogs? I mean, it's crazy. The guy can't even go to bed. There's frogs in the bed, for crying out loud. There's all kinds of speculation as to why Pharaoh wanted to wait till tomorrow to get rid of these frogs. I mean, maybe he wanted to try some frog leg bisque, you know. Maybe he wanted to get into a frog jumping contest with some other pharaohs in the area. We don't really know. All we know is that he just wanted to wait. But really, isn't this a story about us? When we look back and spend some time on it, we realize we're doing the same thing. If we don't set an appointment and spend some time with God, we'll just keep putting it off tomorrow, won't we? We'll do the same thing. I'll get to it tomorrow. As I said when I first got up here, I'm really good at putting things off till tomorrow. I had quite a bit of time to set up and get this lesson together, and I waited till about this week to get going. And today, 5:45, I finished typing to get here in time. So I know I need to work on procrastination. But if we're waiting and saying that I'll start it tomorrow, just like I'll start that diet tomorrow, or I'll start cleaning out that garage tomorrow, it'll just never come, and we'll never make the time. So don't put it off. Set that appointment with God and keep it. If it helps you to keep this appointment when you set it, keep this in mind. Every time you go to put it off, tell yourself, "The leaders of CR are going to come and fill my bed with frogs." And trust me, we will. David bought, you got like 3 cases this week, so they should be coming. TJ said they were ordered. So hope we all like frogs. So make time. Find a place that's quiet and where you can be alone with just you and God. Maybe it's going to be early in the morning before you get off to work. Maybe it'll be sitting in a car at a park, or even getting away for the weekend by yourself, maybe going down to the coast and spending a day or two. Just make the time and keep the appointment. Next, we're on to open, because we need to be open. We need to open wide our hearts and our minds to allow the feelings that the pain of the past has blocked. Denial has protected us from our feelings and repressed the pain we felt. But now it's blocking us from the recovery of our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and we need to be wide open to see it. Once we've seen the truth, we need to express it. Job 7:11 says, "Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul." Simply meaning here that express is to write it down. Get it out on paper. Doing a moral inventory in our head is great, but really, we've spent enough time there already, haven't we? We need to get it out on paper. It is a huge part of our healing process. So ask yourself some questions. What do I feel guilty about? If that's the first thing that comes to your mind, write it down, and it's the first thing you need to address on your inventory. Now, do you know and understand what guilt is or for? God uses guilt to correct us when we are wrong. That's called conviction, and it hurts. Don't confuse conviction with condemnation. Like in Romans 8:1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Once we've made the decision to ask Jesus into our lives, hearts and to confess our wrongs, turn over our sins, and accept Jesus' forgiveness, as far as God's concerned, the guilt has no purpose. It's finished. But we like to hold on to that guilt. We really like the feeling of hanging on to it and keeping it with us. We just keep repeatedly beating ourselves over the head with it. That's called condemnation. That's not from God. That's from ourselves. Another question to ask is, what are my fears? Fear prevents us from expressing ourselves openly and honestly. And making an honest moral inventory, Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid or discouraged, for I, the Lord your God, am with you wherever you go. Also ask, am I trapped in dishonest thinking, alibis, or self-pity? Remember, the truth is not going to change. Our feelings are going to change. Next, we're going to rely. Rely on Jesus to give us the courage and the strength this step requires. Isaiah 40:29, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. If your knees are knocking, you may need to kneel on them. You can do this with God's help. The next thing we're going to do is we're going to analyze. We need to analyze our past honestly. To do a searching and fearless inventory, we must step out of our denial because we cannot put our faults behind us until we face them. Just like a great theologian once said, fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering. Imagine that. Even in a movie, you can get good quotes. But isn't that really why we're here? We all have some kind of suffering or hurts in our lives. We have a lot of fear in our past. Next is to list. We make a written list of the events of our past. Why is it important to write it down? Well, let's put it this way. If you're like me and you have a photographic memory, you can remember all this stuff. The only problem is you forgot to put the memory card in to kind of keep track of all those memories. So the list is basically an inventory of all the events of our past, both the good and the bad. Balance is extremely important here. Seeing our past on paper brings us face to face with the reality of our character defects. Lamentations 3:40, let us examine our ways and test them. The verse does not say let us only examine the bad ways, so we need to honestly focus on the pros and the cons of our past. People who do not balance their inventory normally do not make it through this recovery process. So keep it balanced. One thing that Rick and I did when we did our step study, and we had some guys that were really struggling. They kept coming to us week after week saying, I only have bad stuff. I have nothing good. So a good little hint we used, and I'm going to tell you guys to do it, for every 5 bad things you write down, you need to write 5 good things before you move on. There is good stuff that you've done. You know, maybe it's as simple as you didn't kill the spider, you picked it up and threw it outside in the rain. You know, maybe you didn't flip that guy off who just cut you off at the intersection. Those are all good things that we can use on our list. However small, we need to have them on our list. Also very important in this process is don't do this alone. The road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. To help keep you balanced, you need somebody who is strong and who you can trust to help you writing your inventory. These people are not going to do your inventory for you, they're just going to encourage you. So you need to have a strong sponsor or accountability partner with you. These people will share through your pain the process of this program, and they will hopefully share their pains with you. So as you begin your inventory, God will reveal to you how he sees you. It may not be a pretty picture, but it's going to be a picture. And it will turn out to be a good picture. I see that every day. Every time I get up and I ask God for things, or I talk to God in the morning, or I'm praying in my truck before I go in at work, I'm asking him to reveal in me the things I need to fix. And he always manages to show me something every day. So, one last thing I want to ask you, or maybe just kind of put a challenge out to you before we end this evening, is what if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? Since I heard that a few weeks ago, it's really been on my mind, and it's kind of a struggle. I get up some days and I go, you know, I didn't thank him for anything yesterday, but I'm thankful for what I have for today. And I'm thankful that I have all of you here tonight to help me go through my recovery program. Thank you.